This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:05 p.m. Caroline and Uma with you, and this first story is an interesting one in the digital age. Sweden's central bank governor has called for public control over its payment system, and we're going to be talking about how the Swedes are rethinking this cashless proposition.
Yep.
Okay, so everyone is talking about e-payments and going cashless.
Mm.
And there is that constant fear that, you know, well, anything digital is hackable. It is not as secure as we'd like it to be.
Yeah, but I mean, so when you think about it, I guess on a macro level, it seems at odds, right, with the rest of the world that's striving for that cash-free society, cash-free economy, however you want to label it. So this concern about cashlessness, I suppose, has not exactly been a very popular opinion, but it's one that's growing. Apparently in Sweden, most consumers already say that they manage without cash altogether. A lot of shops and cafes are increasingly refusing to accept notes and coins. But at this point, I guess it started about a month or so ago, at least officially. In February, the head of Sweden's central bank warned that Sweden could soon face a situation where all payments are controlled by the private banks.
Right. And so here's the thing. How do you feel about this, Caroline? Because I was thinking, when I was reading this article, I was like, okay, is this paranoia or is it good sense, right?
Yeah.
Now, in my mind, I'm always imagining that a central bank has all of these backups in place in case systems get hacked, servers go down, all kinds of bad things happen.
One would hope,
right? But for us, the consumer, it feels like cashless is the most convenient thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, so if you ask me how I feel about it, I feel like I'm on the outside looking in, trouble in paradise sort of thing, because it's almost surreal, really. I mean, concepts like cashlessness,
mm-hmm.
You know, that most countries are sort of struggling to adopt. The Swedes have already conquered and are already dealing with the ramifications, if you will. So, you know, I'm still trying to convince my mom, you know, of the virtues of internet banking. So I feel like I'm very far away from this.
Actually, you're right. I mean, we've had politicians say that, you know, by 2020, by 2025, Malaysia should be cashless or aim to be cashless. But we're very behind, right? I mean, a lot of Western countries, not just Sweden. I know when my friends come to visit, for example, they're always surprised at how much cash I take out from the ATM constantly.
Yeah.
Because over here, you still have merchants who go, well, you want to pay credit card at 3% extra. Or if your purchase is not more than 50 ringgit, you cannot use credit card.
I mean, you don't even have to go so far away, right? Like in Korea, for example, you know, 7-Eleven or, you know, any of the convenience stores, you go to the bakery, you know, you just tap your card and that's it. But I don't know, you know.
Or these days you tap your phone.
Yeah, that's right. So it seems though painfully obvious when it's painted in this light that a fully digital system or with one, you kind of have no weapon to defend yourself if someone turns it off, is what they're saying. So, you know, should we be investing so much faith in the banks? And in Sweden's case, they're leaving these decisions to four major banks who actually form a monopoly there.
Okay, so this has been a perennial problem, in my opinion, which is why my grandmother always had the right idea. Even back then, even with the banks,
cash in the
she
pillow.
Always had a quality street tin. No chocolates inside.
Filled with cash. Yeah.
Hidden under the bed.
Yeah. And I'm sure she has another one with those Danish biscuits filled with sewing equipment.
Sewing equipment. Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it seems to be a perennial problem and people were constantly worried about it, right? So is this fear-mongering? I mean...
Right. So here in Malaysia, I guess the majority of us operate on the assumption that digitization is, you know, the way forward. For the most part, there doesn't seem to be much pushback about the risks involved.
Right.
So for some insights on whether or not those concerns are valid in the local context, we're crossing over to Chang Chu Sun, the founder of SoftSpace, a digital payment platform here in Malaysia. Thanks very much for joining us, Chu Sun. So help us understand this. I think largely it seems to be going well, but is relying solely on technology actually naive or risky?
Yeah, well, there's always two sides of the things, right? So when everything is on manual, for example, cash, there's a reason why governments are trying to move away from cash because it's expensive and, you know, we have issues like counterfeits, accountability and stuff like that. So going digital and using technology, there's a lot of benefits, but there's always pros and cons. For example, if something happens, they can unplug the system or the system is under attack. Obviously, there's an opportunity for people to use it for malicious intent, like, for example, cripple the economy and stuff like that. So therefore, there's always people who want to have a fallback method, which is the most traditional and probably the most widely accepted, which is cash, right? But I think my personal opinion, by going 100% cashless, isn't it a risk? But it's not an excuse for us, you know, to use cash. For example, infrastructure is the most important thing when it comes to technology. So say there's a major catastrophe of a breakdown in the backbone, which is sustaining the whole system. Therefore, you could at least still go on with your life by using cash, right? So that's one of the main reasons why people want a fallback method. You know, then there are things like privacy issues and all accountability, taxation, but these are other concerns altogether. But that's my take on it, yeah.
So even if a country does opt to go completely digital, cash should still be available as a fallback method.
Exactly. And I think you probably want to make it expensive to accept cash. So you only want to do it when there's valid reason. For example, there's a breakdown in the devices or the touch points that you use to go cashless, right? For example, your credit card machine is broken down, your point of sale system is malfunctioning, or your internet is not working, your telephone line is not working, fine, right? So under those kind of circumstances, sure, we definitely want to fall back on cash. Other than that, personally, I'm a believer of going cashless with the assumption that proper security measurements are in place. But nobody in this world can safely say that they are, you know, free from hackers. Hackers love looking at angles where they can attack, especially if they find a weak point. And normally, when you have everything automated or you use a lot of technologies, there's always pros and cons. So it gives them various angles to look at it, whereby cash, probably the biggest enemy of cash is actually counterfeit notes, right? And that's probably that. So you probably have more issues to worry about by going cashless, but also it comes with a lot of benefits, you know, speed, accuracy, efficiency and stuff like that.
Right. What are some factors that would determine whether a cashless economy would work, I guess, well for any country?
Well, it takes a lot, you know, to make it work. Education, culture, the way of doing things, and of course the government regulators are the ones that are playing the most important role by making it efficient, less costly. So, yeah, Sweden probably is one of the best example of cashless society because I think their regulators or the government took a very proactive role in it. The same goes for Malaysia as well. You can see that our central banks, one of the few KPIs that they are trying to reduce the use of checks for a start, and they are trying to promote cashless payments, be it in the form of debit, credit, or electronic transfer and stuff like that. So I believe the strongest driving force should be first from the regulators. Second, players within the ecosystem, guys like us, you know, to make it efficient, safe, you know, to build the market confidence. And of course, at the end, education from all parties to promote and to reinforce the fact that why going cashless is always better than cash.
Right, yeah. I mean, personally, I'm a huge fan of PayWave, you know, that thing where you just wave your card at the machine.
Yeah.
But how good is Malaysia at going cashless?
We're making actually really good progress, if you ask me. Obviously, if you want to compare us to countries like Sweden, yes, we probably have a bit of journey to go, but we're definitely making progress. The latest statistics released by the central bank, at least you've seen a massive dip in the use of checks, for example. So I think in the upcoming few years, you probably will see dips in using cash as well by going to different channels and methods like electronic transfer, interbank, debit, credit, stuff like that.
All right. Thank you very much, Chu Soon. That was Chang Chu Soon, the founder of SoftSpace, with his thoughts on going cashless and what that would mean for a country like Malaysia. That, of course, is from the viewpoint of someone who operates in the cashless society space. But for consumers, do the same considerations apply?
Right. So if you have any thoughts, give us a call on 03-77-109-000 and chime in on the conversation. Are you keen on a cashless economy? And I guess, what are your concerns, if any, about digital currency?
Yes, I am keen. That's my answer. I want to pay using my watch. I want to pay just like using an implant in my finger.
I don't want to pay, actually.
Okay, that's the point.
I win.
Fine, you win. We've got more music coming your way on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.